Shall we pray once again? On our knees. Our loving Heavenly Father, God of grace, mercy, and peace, our mighty and great God, our faithful and wonder-working God, God of glory, in the blessed name and the only name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our highly exalted Savior, once again we come at thy feet to acknowledge that we depend upon thee and thee alone for every word to be spoken and every thought to be expressed. Loving Father, we thank thee for thy desire to speak with us from the throne of glory. We magnify thee for all among us who have been made to pass from death into life, from condemnation to justification, from darkness into light. We humbly pray their joy may increase manifold, their peace may multiply like a river, and their faith may become stronger and stronger day by day. But we also pray for those who haven't yet found their joy and peace, joy unspeakable, full of glory. May thy light from heaven may to shine in their hearts. This very evening, before we finish speaking, that joy may come flooding in their soul. To be able to say truthfully, it is well with my soul. Lord, make it so. And those who have lost their joy and the peace through any failure and fault and defilement may recover what they have lost. Those who find their burden too heavy, give an extra grace. Those who are in lonely places, be taught of thee how to live in thy presence. And those who have unhappy homes, be given thy abundant grace to live triumphantly in those conditions also. Those who are keeping well, be healed by thee. Those who are wandering here and there, search for peace, may find thy peace. Amen. O God, we ask of thee, thou may answer every question. Thou can do it, we know it, we believe it. And solve every problem. Thus we pray by our gathering over here, many burdens be lifted, many bonds be broken, and many lives be transformed. And these words may come in ears, my son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. Loving Father, do possess us completely, and draw away every eye from man. Let it be fixed upon thee and thee alone, and make our time edifying, glorifying. And don't allow anyone to go empty from thy presence. Fill that place with thy glory as we pray in thee name, Lord Jesus Christ, our highly exalted Savior. Amen. St. John Gospel and chapter 15 and verse 11. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Your joy might be full. These three chapters in John Gospel, chapter 14 to 16, contain the last message of Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave to disciples just before he was crucified, rather betrayed to be crucified. He had told his disciples three times in 1 week that he was about to suffer, be reviled, and then killed. As you find in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 31, and he began to teach them, Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now chapter 9, St. Mark's Gospel. St. Mark, chapter 9, verse 31. For he taught the disciples, and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Now chapter 10, and verse 34. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 34, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. In 1 week, 3 times, our Lord has said these words, how you are going to suffer, and mocked, reviled, be scourged and spat upon, and then killed. Now having heard these words, the disciples of Lord Jesus became very sad. They have seen him going about doing good for 3 years. And you find Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, Acts of the Apostles, and chapter 10, verse 38, Acts 10, 38. 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good, and healing all that were oppressed with the devil, for God was with him. For 3 years, they have seen their Lord going about doing good. And it doesn't matter who they were. Without any exception, everybody was equally blessed by him. And we find also in the same Mark 6:56 and Matthew 14 and 36, Luke 4:40, like that. Whether they were Jews or Gentiles or Samaritans, whosoever came to him, Scripture says, as many as touched were made whole, no exception. And yet he's saying, he has done good to everybody. He asked no question. Lepers were cleansed by him, blind were given sight. Whosoever they were, of any nationality, they came and they were blessed and healed. They went to rejoicing. Now the Lord is saying, two disciples, my time has come. For your sake, I am going to suffer, be reviled, mocked, and spat upon, and scourged, and be killed. Having heard these words, the disciples became very sad. They found it very, very hard to understand these words. And they were saying in the heart, Master, why should you suffer? We are with you. Why should you suffer? We have done good to all people, and you have all power. We have seen thy power being manifested in every case, whether they were blind or lame or lepers, anybody. But you are saying you will suffer. And you find the answer in these 3 chapters being given to all their questions. And that's why these 3 chapters, John 14 to 16, are very, very inspiring chapters, very, very helpful chapters. You'll find much help, much inspiration, much comfort, much instruction in these 3 chapters of John's Gospel. Never get tired of it. Now we can sum up these 3 chapters only in 3 short fragments. In John 14, 27, he says, My peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. John 15, 11, My joy. These things have I spoken unto you. What things? Of his suffering. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Then in John 16, 33, he speaks of my victory. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. So these three chapters, John 14 and 15 and 16, can be summed up by these three very short phrases. John 14, my peace. John 15, my joy. And John 16, my victory. And I can say, this is the sum total of the salvation which we have in Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody were to ask me this question, how can you explain in a simple way, the most simple language, the salvation in Lord Jesus Christ, these three words only, peace, joy, and victory. When I was born again, in the month of December 1929, about 40 years ago, I never knew what the Bible is. I never knew what is the Old Testament and New Testament. I was so blind. I had torn the Bible in 1919 in Lahore, Pakistan, in my blindness, in my Sikh religion. And have been speaking words of blasphemy against the Bible for 10 years. I never knew who was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I never knew what is new birth. Never heard the word name before in my life. I never knew what the atonement, a justification. Totally in darkness. I knew one thing. I could say to anybody, I have found peace. I have found joy. Just speakable. Full of victory. And I found victory. Victory over sin. The very moment Lord Jesus Christ became my Savior, I found this threefold experience. Peace. It began to increase. And joy unspeakable, full of glory. And victory over sin day by day. I was slave to every sin at that time. Smoking, drinking, dancing, all the vices common to young people. Lord Jesus Christ broke my bonds of sin. Now, this evening I'm only going to spend some time on the word my joy. You kindly spend some more time upon your knees on these chapters. These three chapters were spoken by Lord Jesus Christ as he walked from the upper room to Gethsemane. There he was betrayed by Judas to be crucified. I can imagine our Lord Jesus Christ walking on a small, narrow footpath from Jerusalem to Gethsemane. As he walked on the footpath, disciples were coming alongside him. He walked slowly, and he spake slowly. He knew from their faces of disciples, they are very, very sad, extremely sad, feel like crying. Having heard those words, the Lord is speaking quietly, my disciples, I know you are feeling very sad. What I have said have made you sad, but it's for your sake. It's for your sake I must suffer. It's for your sake I must give my hands and feet to be pierced. It's for your sake I must be reviled and spat upon, for your sake. But they might say, Lord, but why should you suffer? Again, we commit sins in a threefold manner. All of us. We commit sins by thoughts. Nobody is free from evil thoughts. As you find, God was in Matthew and chapter 15 and verse 19, evil thoughts. And also, we commit sin by words. According to scripture, our yea should be yea and nay should be nay. Matthew the Gospel, chapter 12, verse 36. We go on committing sin every possible way. We commit sin by hands and feet. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered in a threefold manner. For our sinful thoughts, he was spat upon. It's only when we want to show extreme hate of anybody, we spit. Anybody is spat upon, he will be so much insulted. He won't be able to even speak for hours together. It's a great humiliation to be spat upon. For our sinful thoughts, he allowed them to spit upon his face. There's a prophecy also in Isaiah 50 and verse 6. For our sinful words, he was reviled and mocked. For 6 hours, these wicked men at the cross reviled him. If thou art Christ, come down and we believe thee. Went on mocking him, reviling him for 6 hours. And for sinful deeds, hands are pierced, feet are pierced, and the back is scarred, hairs are plucked. He has paid the full price for all our sins, past and future. Now, as a result of that, we are given peace. Anybody question me? How do you know that your sins are forgiven? Well, peace. Simple answer. The God verse says, Nebuchadnezzar, chapter 32, verse 17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace. Not ordinary peace. The peace like a river. Book of Isaiah, chapter 48, and verse 18. Oh, that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then thy peace had been like a river. It's a great peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. It's a great peace. The perfect peace. Book of Isaiah, chapter 26, and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Perfect peace. And peace for always. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 16. God of peace, himself, give you peace, always, by all means. Peace doesn't come by knowledge. God of peace, himself, living person, coming into us, himself, give you peace, always, by all means. Peace for always. Many years ago, I was in the train traveling India, North India. And there were some people in the same compartment. And one Sikh gentleman, with long beard, said to me, why did you give up your Sikh religion and become a Christian? I said, sir, Lord Jesus Christ became my peace, perfect peace. He said, peace? I have got 1,000 times peace than you have. And I got it through Sikh religion. I replied, yes, sir, I'm not sorry for your peace. You have found peace, God bless you. And may your peace multiply manifold. But my testimony is, I struggled and tried to find peace by every known means. I could not. I have been to many Sikh temples and spent many hours repeating the prayer, taking part in the rituals, but couldn't find peace. He said to me again and again, no, 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 you are a liar. My peace is more than you got peace. God bless you. Anyway, I'm not sorry for it. In the meantime, all went to sleep in the train. I was in the third class compartment, and I took my Bible, knelt down to pray. I believe in prayer everywhere on knees. I began to pray upon my knees, and that man was opposite bench, lying there. And after I finished prayer, he said to me, can I have same peace? Can I have same peace? He said to me, I'm sorry, I got angry with you, insulted you. He said, I've got everything what the world can give. The old man said, I've got so many children, all happily married, got plenty of money, but no peace. So I took my Bible and showed him God's word. For Lord Jesus Christ himself gives peace. He actually fell at my feet. I had to push him back. Please, sir, don't touch my feet. I can't give you peace. Lord Jesus Christ who gives peace. Now, after peace, we find joy. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a bubbling joy. Now we shall see, first of all, from God's word, what kind of joy is being offered to us by Lord Jesus Christ, first thing. The joy is sevenfold. And secondly, how that joy can be received by us, any one of us. Two things. What the joy is. And you know for yourself whether your joy is real or not. You've got to be sure that whatever you have found is real, because the enemy can deceive us. Count God's word in the 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, from verse 14, the devil has power to become angel of light, to deceive people. He's a deceiver. So can you make sure, first of all, is your joy real or not? First of all, Gospel of St. Luke and 2 chapter. The Gospel of St. Luke and 2 chapter, please. Luke's Gospel and 2 chapter. The message being brought from heaven. And verse 10. Gospel of St. Luke, 2 chapter, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That is the very first message brought upon the earth by the angel at the birth of Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. Among the shepherds who are found watching their flock in the field, not very far from Bethlehem, you find the same words being sung next month by many people as they go about carol singing. But they only do so for cakes and coffee. Not because they found joy, but they get their joy from cake and coffee. But here scripture says so clearly, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Not ordinary joy. Great joy. Not small measure. And all people. All people of all nationalities, all classes. What a message. In a simple way, the angel is saying these words to shepherds. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And I met people of all countries, of all classes, who have found that joy also. Now, can you say that your joy is a great joy? I don't know your condition. Because scripture says so clearly, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And all people, of all classes, young people, old people, rich people, poor people, white people or black people, stout or lean, whatever they may be. That joy is not only joy, great joy. All people, please be sure you are among the all people. All people. Now, thirdly, please, 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1, verse 8. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That is the third description of the joy which we have in Lord Jesus Christ. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy which can't be expressed in any human language. The joy is so unique. You may sing a whole day, and that joy can't be expressed. It's not by writing. It's not by speaking. It's by tasting. We can enjoy it. I may go on talking the whole day or whole month. You got to experience it. Joy unspeakable. There's one small boy carrying a pot of honey. In the way he got tempted, and he licked it, went on. And somebody questioned him, boy, is the honey sweet? Yes, sir, sweet. How sweet? Sir, very sweet. But how much sweet? Sir, very, 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 very sweet. But no, how much sweet? Sir, very, 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 very sweet. But how much sweet? Boy said, sir, taste it. I can't tell you. Now, honey is sweet, sugar is sweet, apple is sweet, orange is sweet, jam is sweet, jelly is sweet. One word only, you got to taste it. You will never know by other people's description. I may talk about it. Joy unspeakable, full of glory, joy which is known by experience. Not by knowledge, not by books, not by sermon, not by world teachers or philosophers. Any sinner can receive it and taste it. And he can say, yes, now I know. The joy has come into my heart. I found it. That morning, when Lord Jesus met me, forgave my sin, the joy automatically came like a flood in my soul. That is the third description. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Fourthly, John Gospel and chapter 16, please. St. John Gospel and chapter 16 and verse 22. And ye know, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That is the fourth description in God's word of the joy which we have in Lord Jesus Christ. your joy, no man taketh from you. Earthly joys can be taken away by enemies or by friends or by relations. Anybody can take it away. When somebody is speaking of you, joy goes away. When your wife rebukes you, sometimes does. The joy goes away. When somebody insults you, joy goes away. When you lose your job, joy goes away. When people rob you, again joy goes away. But here, God says, this joy, no man taketh from you. They will try, neither enemies, nor friends, nor relations, nor strangers, will ever succeed to take away this joy, because they have only joy. Further, please, Romans and chapter 14, verse 17. Romans epistle, fifthly, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Romans 14, 17, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. This joy is not depending upon eating and drinking. There are many persons who live for eating. Good food, more joy. Bad food, no joy. That is their standard. If for some reason they can't get what they want, their joy goes away. If coffee is cold, joy goes away. If tea is not very proper, again joy goes away. If the toast is not very hot, joy goes away. You can't get roast beef properly, again joy goes away. You want your steak so proper, again joy goes away. But this joy is not depending upon eating and drinking. You can have any kind of food. I remember many years ago in India, we went to a village for gospel work. And they won't give us any food. All Mohammedans and Hindus, they kept on saying, you are Christians, we won't sell you any food. After all, one man gave us red rice with much difficulty. We got it powdered, got it baked. No, red rice had no taste for bread. Anyway, we got red rice bread, but no curry eat with. One man gave us some raw sugar in sand meant for donkeys. We had that bread that day, that rice bread and raw sugar. So tasty. Very tasty. The joy never went away. We thank God, Lord, thank for this food and took it joyfully. Our heavenly joy is not depending upon eating and drinking. There are times when we have no food. As Paul says, Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians epistle, please, and chapter 4, and verse 11. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak in respect of want, I have learned in whatsoever state I am there to be content. I know how to, verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Both to be abound and suffer need. And all things to Christ is thanks of me. Our joy is not depending upon the food. There are occasions when we have no money to have sufficient food, what we like. We have gone that India many times. We decided not to borrow. And not to give any hint to anybody. Whatever God gives, be thankful. And God blesses it. And rejoices that way. It is so clear. Some months ago, coming in the train in India, we are in a party of more than 12 people, but no food. After a few hours, somebody sent us one small plate of rice, only one plate. We are in a party of 12 people. We all got one spoon of rice. One spoon of rice, one tiny spoon also. Thank the Lord, thank thee for this food. Kindly bless it, multiply it. All the hunger went away. So satisfying. There are occasions when we are tested and you find the Lord Jesus Christ has power to help us to taste love and taste joy in all conditions. Then he says further, Philippians 4 chapter, verse 4. Philippians 4, 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The joy for always. Not for a few days. Not for a few months. Or a few years. Joy for a young age. At your old age. Rejoice the Lord always. That's repeated. Then seventhly, okay, Habakkuk. And third chapter. And verse 17. Book of Habakkuk, Old Testament. Book of Habakkuk. And chapter 3, please. And verse 17. Habakkuk, third chapter, verse 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, we mark it. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will join in the God of my salvation. This joy which we have in Lord Jesus Christ is not depending upon our property. Land or no land, building or no building, car or no car, or motorcycle or nothing. The joy is unique, not depending upon any possession of any kind. Living in a hut or in a palace makes no difference. He could say truthfully, men of God, that even though for a purpose, God may keep us in extreme poverty, we have known the days. I will tell you many experiences. I never knew myself when I find the next meal. After my conversion, when God called me for his service, 4th April 1932, last said to me clearly, withdraw your claim from your property. Now my father had that time the property. He had a factory, a land and building. We are in the family, six brothers. God said to me again and again, withdraw your claim from your property. And never tell anybody in the whole world by letter or by hint or by tears or by sad looks about your financial material need. Tell me about it. And that was 4th April 1932. And what a joy it is. And I can now testify. All these years, about 40 years, the joy has become more, not less. I have no property, no building, nothing to possess with you. But joy is there, as the scripture says. Whatever may be condition, you find the joy will increase. It must increase. Even sorrow can increase. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, please, and verse 9. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verse 9 and 10. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, verse 10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. There may be some occasion when you feel sorrowful, but joy won't go away. It's never joy. It's experience. My father passed away some years ago, and my brother sent me a cable. Father died. I replied, I will see my father again. I will see him in glorified body, never to part again. You also want to see him, now repent of your sins, and be Lord Jesus as your personal savior. Many years ago, I never felt for a single second my father died. Even sorrow of that nature can never take away that joy. We have hope of glory. One day we shall see him face to face and become like him. Now we shall see how that joy can be received by us. We have seen from God's word what kind of joy is being offered to us. It's a great joy for all people. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy which no man can take it from us. Joy for always. Joy not depending upon meat and drink or upon any earthly possession, land, building, property, gold or silver. Not depending upon relations or friends. Even sorrow can take it away. Now please see for God's word how that joy can be received by any one of us. Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15 and verse 10. The Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15 and 10th verse. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of God, angel of God, over one sinner that repenteth. That's how joy begins. It begins by repentance. Now imagine the worst possible sinner in Richmond or London repenting now this evening of his sins, her sins. You think of any person you know of in your neighborhood, the worst person, despised by everybody, hated by everybody because of a sinful life. Now imagine that, if possible, that person repents sincerely of his or her sin. Now can you imagine what happens at that time in heaven? Scripture says, when anybody repents of sins, there is a great joy in heaven. I can imagine Lord Jesus Christ giving a command, my angels, hurry up, be quick, come unto me, and rejoice in my presence, and bring with you all your heavenly music. The angel might say, Lord, what happened? Because so-and-so, Richmond, have repented. Come, hurry up, don't delay. Come, rejoice in my presence. Start singing, rejoice. They might say, but Lord, that person, nobody wants him. He's so terrible, and nobody likes him. Everybody hates him. Terrible person. For such a person to rejoice, Lord said, no, yes, I know. But he has repented. I have forgiven him. I have washed him and given my life. Come and rejoice. Who will have a single joy? Without piano, they start singing. It's a heavenly music. All are singing joyfully. Who will have a single joy? Because somebody in this moment has repented sincerely. That joy does it begin from there, not from the earth. As it begins there, it is poured from heaven into a repenting heart. And that's why no man can take it away. It came from there. No man gives us. The Lord himself gives us the joy. Oh, what a mystery. Any sinner, the worst type, can bring in heaven joy. I know by experience, as I told you again and again. I was given a Bible in 1919. I tore it and threw it away. I was so blind spiritually. And for 10 years, went on speaking words of blasphemy against the Bible and Lord Jesus Christ and Christians for 10 years. These hands deserve to be cut in pieces. His tongue was pulled out. Yet, my Lord sought me, only by His grace. He sought me. He came to me Himself. He spoke to me. He showed my sins to me. And I confessed them. I repented and He forgave me. And He gave me joy also. I know in His sight I am precious. He has purchased me by the blood. That joy also can come in your heart. It must come from heaven. Otherwise, it will go away. If the joy comes from the earth, through preachers, or through singing, it will go away. It won't stay too long. But when it comes from heaven itself, it can never go away. Now further, please, the second cause of the joy. Gospel of St. Luke and 10th chapter. Luke's Gospel and 10th chapter from the verse 17 to verse 20. The Gospel of St. Luke, 10th chapter from verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan, a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions for all the earth, the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, it will rejoice not that the Spirit of coming unto you has rejoiced because your names are in heaven. That is the second cause of heavenly joy. These disciples, 70 in number, were sent by our Lord 2 by 2. And they went to many villages and performed many miracles in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Now the verse 17 says, they came back rejoicing. Lord, in thy name we have seen wonderful things. In thy name we have seen even demons being cast out. They're full of joy. And Lord smiled. Lord, you said, my disciples, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. In other words, the miracles by themselves
can't give you real joy. They saw the miracle, very happy. What a great thing we have seen, devil be cast out. The Lord was better. He's saying, my disciples, this kind of joy which you experienced by seeing miracles will not last very long. It's a temporary joy. Even though they saw the miracles in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. What he says, rejoice in the fact that your names are in the book of life. That's my joy. My name is there. Not upon these earthly things. We are only Christians. Now, these days they have so many membership. Members of these so many denominations. I believe only in one name, the book of life. As you see in the book of Revelation, and chapter 21. Book of Revelation, and chapter 21. Book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Verse 27, last verse. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that gives joy. And I'm assured that my Lord, by his own hand, written my name in the heavenly book of life. And that gives me joy. My name is there. Even though now upon the earth, very few know us. You ask your neighbor today, and you go home, in the same street, do you know me and my name? No, sir, I don't know you. Don't know me? I have been living in the same street for the last 35 years and passed by the same, catching the same bus. Yes, sir, I have seen you pass by and that's all. I know you have no hair upon the head. But don't know your name upon the earth, isn't it? Even your neighbors don't know who you are. You pass by every day. You go to heaven. Ask anybody, do you know me? Yes, brother, I know you very well. Ask Abraham. Ask Isaac, ask Jacob, ask Daniel. When you go to heaven, you won't go as strangers. No need to say, meet so and so. They all know us. Because Lord Jesus Christ has written our name in heaven by his own hand. We are known to everybody in heaven when you go to heaven. What a mystery. It's a great salvation. Provided you are washed by the Lamb, by the blood. You find the Lamb, word Lamb, occurring in the book of Revelation 28 times. Lamb. That's why when John the Baptist first saw the Lord Jesus Christ in John 1:29, he said, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Lamb. He never said, behold your Messiah or your Savior, or behold Jesus, saying for a purpose. Behold the Lamb of God. In other words, you want to know him one, as one who died in your stead for your sins as God the Lamb. That's my assurance. If I say my name in the book of life, that means all my sins have been completely atoned for. My Lord Jesus Christ has paid full price in dying for my sins as a Lamb. As I was saying, we commit sins in a threefold manner. By thoughts, by words, and by deeds. Now upon the earth, if anybody commits any crime, he has to be tried in a court and proven by two witnesses or three witnesses, then the court can punish him. If no witness coming forward, they can't punish him. By this case, Lord Jesus Christ is paying the penalty willingly, even on my sinful thoughts. What a salvation. For my sinful thoughts, he is being spat upon. For my sinful words, he is being reviled and mocked. For my sinful deeds of any kind, whole body is being broken, and back being scourged, hair being plucked. All my sins have gone, have been atoned for. My Lord has paid my debt. That's my second cause. Yes, there were many sins, horrible sin, shameful sin, but they were completely atoned for. Lord Jesus took my place. And that's why now my name is in the Lamb Book of Life. He knows me by name. In this country, you see, sometimes you meet a person and you go in for tea. see him again after two years. Do you know me? I don't know your name. I know your face, not your name. In heaven, no strangers. We go straight away, welcomed by angels, Lord himself. Come in, my dear son, so-and-so. Come in, by name even. He knows every name. That's my joy. Then my Lord Jesus Christ knows my name. I will never forget it. And he himself see me in heaven by my name. Come in, so-and-so. Come in, so-and-so. Come in, so-and-so. Now, thirdly, please, Psalm 16. The third cause of the heavenly joy. Psalm 16 and verse. And at the same time, my living friend, as he said, behold, I am with you always. Matthew Gospel, chapter 28. And verse 20, last part. I am with you always. We don't lie. How living is he? How loving is he? Some years ago, after my conversion, there was one occasion. I felt discouraged. I had no money and no food for some days. And feeling very, very sad and dejected, I came to a place. I saw one large empty room. Came inside and sat there on one chair. Many thoughts came. Supposing I fall sick and nobody knows me here. What happened to me? Where shall I go? With all these thoughts, feeling sad and discouraged, I went to sleep on the chair. Suddenly, I felt a hand upon my shoulder and somebody was saying to me, clearly, why did you say you are alone? Didn't I tell thee, I will never leave thee and never forsake thee? Having heard those words, I woke up. Lord, can you forgive me? I'm very sorry for having doubted thee. Can you forgive me? I'm very, very sorry. I won't do it again. As I came outside, there was one very tall man called Mr. Taylor came to me. And he said, do you come from India? I said, yes. He said, my parents want to see a man from India. Can you come with me in my car? I come to my home. Here's my car. Jump in. And I said, I've heard that in America, they just midday they can rob you by showing you a gun. I don't know him. And he's saying to me, come with me. Some doubt came. And I said, I have no watch, I have no money, I'm quite safe. I'll go. So I went with him. His parents came outside and said, so happy to see you. We were longing to meet a man from India. This is your home. You must stay for dinner. And that day, they had roast lamb and mint sauce. Now, from that day onward, everywhere Lord had gone before, I could feel God's presence. I discovered a secret. He's a living Savior. It's by going in God's presence, we receive heavenly joy. Anytime you feel discouraged, or depressed, or dejected, or lonely, go upon your knees. Either by roadside, or in any corner, Lord Jesus Christ, I am feeling lonely. Can you come near me and talk to me? He comes. In thy presence, there is the fullness of joy. We can enjoy God's presence anywhere. We don't require any building, any third person. Going upon our knees, we call upon by faith. And he speaks with us. Ask our question. And supply that we need. That is the third cause. Before you please, Psalm 40 and verse 8. The fourth cause of the joy. Psalm 40, 8th verse. Psalm 40 and verse 8. I delight to thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The joy comes by knowing God's will. I don't know any experience more joyful than the joy of knowing and doing God's will. Sometimes it may take us one day or 1 week or 1 month or more even or 1 year. But whenever God does speak to us concerning any matter, joy comes in. God has spoken to me. He has showed his will to me. And he has been pleased to guide me about my future or business, any plan. The pity is, very few believers know the secret of finding God's will. Without finding God's will, they make many plans, spend their money, and money is wasted. Have you learned that secret of finding God's will? And you find tremendous joy by doing his will, by hearing his voice, and by doing God's will. Now, please see, sixthly,
First Thessalonians and second chapter, verse 19. First Thessalonians and second chapter and verse 19. First Thessalonians, second chapter, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or the crown of rejoicing? Are not even he in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Here again, Paul is saying, what is our hope or joy? Are the crown of rejoicing? Are not even he? That means the persons who are saved through our prayer or testimony or our ministry, they become our joy. The joy is not depending upon our own possession and qualification. When somebody else finds the same joy through our testimony or prayer, we find also our great joy. Some years ago, I saw a man in India going in front of me in the street. The Lord spoke to me. You go after him and talk to him. I went after him. He said, stop. He won't stop. I went on going after him. He said, kindly give me 5 minutes. I've got something to tell you. He said to me very angrily, you want to know the truth? I am sick of life. I'm on the way to see to commit suicide. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't like anybody. I said, all right. I'm not going to stop you from committing suicide. After all, you can die after 5 minutes. Doesn't matter. But you die now after 5 minutes, it won't make a difference. I promise you, I won't stop you from committing suicide. Please give me 5 minutes only. So he gave me 5 minutes. I took him aside in a public park, took my Bible, first of all, gave my testimony and showed him how Lord Jesus Christ forgave my sins and gave me joy. I said, now if you go, I commit suicide. My duty is over. Then he said, now I have no desire to die. So you come along with me, I'll show you further. He came back with me. I taught him, and he found the same joy. What a joy it is. This joy can be shared. Our privilege is we can share it with our neighbors, enemies, and relations, all classes. You may go to any country, any part of the world, you can have the same joy can be shared by your enemies or by friends or by strangers. Now please tell me, have you been able to share with anybody else? Has your friend or anybody else found the same joy through you? Maybe uncle, auntie, or grandmother, or a barber, or a shopkeeper, anybody. The joy must be shared. It must be shared. It has a sure test. It becomes more by sharing it. Paul is saying, ye are my joy and the crown of rejoicing. Now please see, the epistle of Jude, verse 24. The epistle of Jude and verse 24, please. The epistle of Jude and verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of the glory with exceeding joy. That's our seventh cause of joy. A day is coming, going by the verse over here, and Lord Jesus Christ will present us faultless and blameless before all the angels in heaven. As God says in the 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians, please, 2 Thessalonians and chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled with us, trust with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, Same way, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, please. And from the verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died, rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, can you imagine the day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again a second time? There are 261 references in the Gospel and the Epistle about his second coming. He must come again. Now, when he comes again a second time, imagine Lord Jesus Christ and the angel on one side, all the mighty angels. Other side, all the saints are there. Lord Jesus in the middle. Now he's saying, my dear angels, let me present you so and so. Now, my angels, do you see in that person any blemish? You can watch over him from the feet to the head. The angels say, no, Lord. He is so glorious, more than we are. Scripture says so. We are going to be presented by our Lord Jesus Christ, by before the angels, with a great joy, faultless and blameless. What a hope we have. Even though upon the earth, we are foolish, all of us are weak, make many mistakes, many shortcomings. But by the salvation, our hope is one day we shall be like him. 1 John 3, 2. We shall be like him, immortal body, glorified body, heavenly body, future body, like him. And we shall know as he knows us. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. Shall be like him, knowing all things in heaven completely, fully overcoming all the barriers and becoming fully glorious. Oh, what a hope. I shall be like him. That's my joy. No doubt upon the earth, I have many faults, many failures. But my hope is I shall be like him. And my Lord himself will present to me, one by one, two angels with a great joy, faultless and blameless and full of glory. Have you found that joy, please? Can you say it truthfully and sincerely? The Lord Jesus Christ has given you this joy unspeakable, full of glory. Great joy, full joy. That's why saying, these things have I spoken unto you, which things of his suffering and death, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Same in John 16, verse 24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask that your joy might be full. It's a full joy. Eternal joy. Joy unspeakable. It's a great joy. And no man can take from us. Do you want it? Shall we pray upon our knees? In silence, and as such our hearts, can you say truthfully, can you say honestly, can you say sincerely, can you say boldly that you have found this joy, the joy unspeakable, full of glory, great joy, joy for always, the joy is not depending upon meat and drink. The joy is not depending upon earthly possession or friends. The joy which no man can take away from us. The joy is multiplies by sharing it. The heavenly joy. Joy for always. Joy with assurance that my sins are gone. And one day I shall like my Lord. We want this joy. Wherever you are, in your own seat, just say, Lord, yes, I haven't got the joy so far. I'm sorry for my sins. Can you forgive me? I thank thee for dying for my sins. I thank thee for forgiving my sins. I thank thee for giving thy life to me. With these words, you come unto him. Right now, before we finish prayer, that joy will be yours. And you will hear these words of Lord Jesus Christ saying, my son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. Quietly, wherever you are, ask him to come in your heart. You lost your joy, ask him to recover it, to help you recover it. Joy not increasing by some means, request him to give the grace to multiply it. Our loving Heavenly Father, God of grace, mercy, and peace, our mighty and great God, our faithful and ever-working God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our highly exalted Savior, we thank thee for thy unchanging love being offered so freely and so lovingly unto all men. Loving Father, we humbly ask of thee that love be now shed abroad by the Holy Spirit in many hearts among us. Thou knowest those among us who haven't yet found the joy unspeakable, full of glory. We have never heard these words, my son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. We have a God's assurance, all their sins are gone, who are living without hope and without peace and joy. Now this evening, upon their knees, they are calling upon thee. We don't know them, but God, thou knowest them. They have called upon thee in simple faith, and thou hast said again in thy word, call unto me, I'll answer thee. We remind thee of thy promise. Humbly pray, thou may right now forgive them and say by whisper, my son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee. And thus, as they receive thy word, by simple faith, confessing their sin, feeling sorry for them, believing from the heart, the Lord Jesus did die in their stead for their sins, they may go home rejoicing with a shining face. And the light may shine upon their faces. Their burden be lifted, their bond be broken, and thus thy peace like a river may come in their hearts. They may understand how to speak with thee, given thy grace to put things right, and by their transformed lives, many more will find thy joy and thy peace in abundance. Lord, bless thy word, and make every provision for their shepherding and feeding and protection, as we pray in thee name, Lord Jesus Christ, our highly exalted Savior. Amen. Amen.